CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to another fascinating personality who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here is Steve Klein.
James Newbern said, "People can be divided into three groups: those that make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who make things happen. Our first playmaker turned an accounting degree into the CEO of a company with 22,000 employees, while our next playmaker runs a 45-year-old trade association for 88 member hospitals. With us today is the CEO of a company that provides an easy, affordable way for people to furnish their homes without incurring a continuing obligation and without needing access to credit. Well, our next CEO has worked in healthcare management for 40 years. His great playmakers are Robert Davis. Robert is CEO of Rent-A-Center, and Steve Love. Steve is CEO of the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council, and we're beginning today's show with Steve. As I mentioned, Steve Love is the president and CEO of the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council, a North Texas trade association promoting collaboration, cooperation, and advocacy on behalf of its 88-member hospitals. For more than 45 years, the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council has partnered with North Texas hospitals to promote patient safety, quality health care, and coordination in the delivery of this health care within North Texas. Now, Steve has worked in healthcare management for more than 40 years and was formerly Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of a Fortune 500 healthcare company that owned more than 50 hospitals and managed approximately 200 facilities in the U.S. Well, Steve, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Steve.
Well, from doing some research on you, understand that getting into the healthcare business was an accident. How did that all happen?
That is interesting. I worked for a CPA firm working in the business community right out of college, and one of our clients was a hospital system located near Richmond, Virginia. And I was in the cafeteria having lunch, and I noticed two nurses, and I went over and sat and talked to them, and they were pediatric oncology nurses. And they truly, by their conversation, convinced me what compassion was all about, and I knew healthcare was where I wanted to be.
It's interesting. Nurses have to have that compassion, but then you add oncology on top of that. They really have to have that compassion. So it's good that you had that conversation with them. Well, tell us what the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council actually does.
Yeah, the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council actually has three business missions. The first mission is we advocate on behalf of our hospitals. Let me explain to you. For example, if there's a regulation, is there a change related to federal or state law, we look at what is the impact on hospitals, how does it impact our patients, and then we advocate on behalf of our hospitals so that hopefully, ultimately, we deliver what's best for the patient.
And my guess is that's been happening a lot lately.
It has definitely happened a lot lately, not only at the federal level, but also at the state level. The second thing we do is we have a foundation. This is not a foundation to raise money. This foundation is to do research. We have data from all our hospitals, and as a result, we look at what are the best practices at the different hospitals? What are some of the things that keep patient safety at the forefront within our hospitals? And we promote that within our 88-member hospitals. We also have associate members, accounting firms, legal firms, business and industry that want to be a part of the healthcare system. And then thirdly, we have a for-profit entity called Group One. And Group One does human resource services, primarily does the criminal background screenings for the employees that work in our hospitals. And we actually sell that service in other states.
So in other words, because of what you're doing, a hospital in North Texas really has no choice but become a member of the council.
Well, we would like to think that. The real tribute is to the hospitals, though. The hospital council was formed almost 50 years ago, and it was because the leaders of the healthcare systems and the hospitals really saw what is something that a council can do for us. How can we serve the community better? Sure, we compete, no question about it. But when we come together at the hospital council, we work on community needs and ultimately improve patient safety.
Interesting, as I was thinking as you said that, most hospitals, the employees and the personnel are in their hospital all day. Unless they're part of a large hospital group, they don't get a lot of outside input. And because of what you're doing, you're giving that additional input to the hospitals.
Absolutely. No question about it. On any given day, you could pick any day and come to the hospital council, and there are meetings in our conference rooms, and you will see representation from our member hospitals. They could be people that work in the operating room. They could be people that work in the business office. They could be people that are the plant operations personnel. They all come together and say, how can we make things better?
You mentioned meetings. I was looking through some of the information that was sent to me about you and about the DFW Hospital Council. You did something interesting recently called speed networking. Well, I know of speed dating. Was this similar to speed dating to let people really get to know each other?
You know, it really is. Speed networking is an interesting concept, and I didn't know how well it would be received. It has been a total success. Essentially, we bring approximately 50 people together representing different industries, and we let them talk to each other side by side for about 5 minutes, blow a whistle, and they move down the line, just like speed dating. And it has been a big success.
And exchanging cars and get to know each other a little better.
Absolutely. A great networking event.
Well, you mentioned something earlier about knowing the state and the federal regulations that are affecting hospitals. What would you say is the most important decision facing the healthcare industry today?
I think the most important is continuing the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. I know it's real political, but, you know, in our hospitals, we treat Democrats and Republicans. So it really shouldn't be a political issue. Healthcare and healthcare policy, especially public health policy, shouldn't be a political issue. The biggest thing facing Texas, 20% of Texans have no health insurance. When you walk down the street, every fifth person doesn't have it. It raises the cost of businesses because of the health insurance and because of the cost shifting. If we could expand Medicaid, it would make a significant difference in the health and well-being of our fellow Texans, and at the same time, it would have a very positive impact on the economy.
Yeah, and the healthcare industry is in the news every single day, and we don't want to become a socialist society as other countries are, but what do we need? And we want to keep the government away from doing everything, but what do we need to do as a society to help the healthcare industry?
Well, I think there's two things. First, let's quickly remember healthcare shouldn't be looked at in a vacuum. Education, income level, and healthcare are a three-legged stool. Unfortunately, in Dallas County, 30% of the children live in poverty. So a child at school who's hungry isn't going to learn. A child at school whose teeth hurt isn't going to learn. We've got to work collaboratively together on how do we bring all of this together. And I agree with you. We don't want it to be a socialistic society, but how do we work collaboratively together to find solutions? What can we do? There's a lot of things we can do. Prevention, wellness. For example, we have got an obese issue in this state. 35% to 40% of the children and adolescents in Dallas County are obese. Probably somewhere around 85% of them will develop type 2 diabetes sometime in their lifetime. That's a horrible statistic. We have got to work on food deserts. We have got to get people to exercise. If you go to a physician or a provider, listen to what they say. Fill the prescription. Take the prescription as prescribed, especially an antibiotic. So there are things that we need to do so that we have personal responsibility in our health care. If we do that in prevention and wellness, we're going to save chronic illness dollars and at the same time be a healthier population.
So in other words, the hospitals need to prevent patients from coming in if they're preventable in any way.
Absolutely. I know people say that's ironic. You're in the healthcare business. But we want to focus on prevention. We want to focus on wellness. We want to focus on what is the best outcome for the patient.
One more question regarding that. I've been hearing about the shortage of healthcare staff, especially nurses. Is this something that you're addressing?
Yes, we work collaboratively not only with our hospitals. We have a great relationship with some of the best nursing schools in the nation, right here in North Texas. You know, just to name a few, the University of Texas Arlington, TCU, TWU, the El Centro school that you've got through the Dallas County Community College. We work collaboratively with all these schools. They turn out superb students, and these nurses we work with. One of the things that we do also is to work with the state to reward some of these based on their graduation rates. And by doing so, we hope to have a great supply of very skilled nurses and other allied health professionals here in North Texas.
And with as much as you're doing, do other major cities such as Dallas and Fort Worth have something similar to the DFW Hospital Council?
We're the only one in the state of Texas. And that's a real tribute, once again, to the hospitals here in the DFW area. The hospitals work together. There are other organizations such as ours in other parts of the nation, but probably we're one of the largest. We probably are close to being the largest in the nation. And again, the cooperation and collaboration is tremendous.
Well, we talked about how you got into this business a little bit by accident. I also mentioned that you were a senior vice president, chief financial officer of a Fortune 500 healthcare company. Were there any other moves in your lifetime that help you become more successful?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have been in healthcare all my life. When I came to the company that was based in Plano, Texas, that was a Fortune 500 company, it was called Triad Hospitals, Inc., a wonderful company. We had a great CEO. His name was Denny Shelton, a personal friend of mine. That was a game changer for me because coming to that company, it was a spinoff from HCA. It was almost a leverage buyout, if you will, when we started that, and it was a big risk. Personal assets on the line, et cetera. It turned out well. It was a game changer, and I've been very thankful.
Well, tell everybody how they can find out more about the DFW Hospital Council.
Well, we have a website, dfwhc.org, that they can certainly go to. And we're located in Irving, Texas, and we will be glad to talk to people, promote our organization, and help them in any way. I think the more we educate people about their health care, then ultimately we're going to do what's best for the patient.
Is there any way for a layperson to get involved with the DFW Hospital Council?
Absolutely. We've got personal memberships. We have associate memberships. We have events that people come to. We have people that come to a lot of our events that are retired, that used to be in other organizations, not just healthcare organizations, because they feel an integral part of what we're doing. You've got to realize healthcare touches everyone. Prevention and wellness to stay healthy. And then, unfortunately, if you're sick, you need our services in the hospital.
Well, Steve, fascinating information about the DFW Hospital Council. Thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
It has been my pleasure.
Again, Steve Love is the CEO, president and CEO of the DFW Hospital Council, and their website, again, is dfwhc.org. Stay with us. We're going to take a break, but don't go away. We are going to talk about how to easily furnish your home with the CEO of Rent-A-Center, Robert Davis. We'll be back right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, Hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at WOKC.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to talk about renting and choices. In 1993, armed with a freshly earned bachelor's degree in accounting from SMU, Garland native Robert Davis accepted an entry-level position in the payroll department of a small company called Renter's Choice. In those first few years, a series of acquisitions put the company on the map, and Renter's Choice eventually purchased industry leader Rent-A-Center, adopting its better-known name. Robert became chief executive officer in 2014, more than two decades after he answered a newspaper ad at a company with a $53 million annual revenue. And now Rent-A-Center's annual revenues are in excess of $3 billion. Big change. Robert, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad you are here. Well, I saw from information about your biography that you use a lot of sports analogies and metaphors. You were also in college football at SMU. Did all of that, did the sports help you form your leadership style?
Oh, most definitely. I think what I learned through my athletic background was just a lot about work ethic and discipline. And certainly as the new CEO of Rent-A-Center 18 months ago, bringing that exact same philosophy to bear on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you were with Renter's Choice, which purchased Rent-A-Center. Was, when you first came to work with them, was the concept the same as it is right now for Rent-A-Center? It
essentially exactly the same. We offer household durable goods to the general public, generally the cash and credit constrained consumer, folks who have little or no access to credit but have the same needs and wants that all of us have to provide for their family. And through our business model, we afford people the opportunity to acquire those household durable goods under flexible rental purchase agreements.
Not necessarily having the credit to do that, or the cash to do that.
That's exactly
getting,
right.
Getting those things in their home. Well, one of the things I noticed that you're now into, and by the way, the website is rentacenter.com. You now are, you know, have smartphones available for your customers. Talk about how that became a part of your many things that you offer homeowners.
Certainly. We obviously have been always looking to endeavor to bring in new categories that resonate with our consumer. And our typical categories are furniture, appliances, electronics, and computers. And as of last year, with the prevalence of smartphones in the marketplace, particularly the Note devices and the iPhone 6s, if you will, we've noticed that many consumers are going mobile now. In fact, our web traffic is up over 50% from years past, and a lot of that is mobile device searches in terms of folks coming to Rent-A-Center. So we wanted to be able to put these devices in the hands of our consumers, and last July we launched smartphones on a national basis, and that did very well for us and gave us a good revenue generator as of July of last year.
I would think by having that as one of the items that you have available for them, that that helps bring people to your website, to your stores, to get them in so that you can sell them something else.
Absolutely. As I mentioned, our web traffic is up significantly over the prior year, and the majority of that web traffic is through mobile devices. We have been more sophisticated in our approach to marketing to these consumers. Our digital approach has been more forthright in making sure that we're in front of these consumers, and so the ability for us to communicate with these consumers on a daily basis, weekly basis, has been a good success for us.
Well, let's talk about Rent-A-Center's success. I understand that you are in a couple of countries, but you're large throughout the United States. Talk about your other companies and where you're located.
So we are in all 50 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico in the U.S., small presence in Canada, and as of a few years ago, made an effort to expand our operations down in Mexico. We currently have about 150 locations south of the border. But through the history of the company, we really grew largely through acquisition. So if you think back to the late 80s and early 90s, there was a lot of consolidation in our industry, and we were the leader in that regard. A few years ago, the opportunity or ability to continue to grow through that fashion sort of dried up, if you will, and we needed to look for other ways to grow. We've started a new business about 10 years ago, but really proliferated here after the Great Recession in 2010. And it's a business we brand as Acceptance Now. And this is our ability to be partnered with traditional retail companies. We have a small presence inside of retail locations, whereby when consumers are denied credit or get turned down for credit, we have a presence to allow that customer to still obtain the merchandise that they want and need for their homes. And that's been a great success for us.
So in other words, I might be in a big box store that you're partnered with, and I can't get credit on this TV or an appliance. You now have somebody there that can help me get that through Rent-A-Center.
That's exactly right. A couple of our largest retail partners are Ashley Home Furnishing, or Home Furnishings is a big furniture retailer. We're also in multi-line retailers like H.H. Gregg or Conn's, as an example, that allow customers to, again, enter into a rental purchase agreement but acquire the goods that they need for their homes.
And I can see how this, they probably love having this. It gives them just one more avenue to get that person as a customer.
That's right. I think it's a win-win-win for all three. Obviously, the retailer wins because we acquire the asset from the retailer. The customer wins, which is most important because they get the products they need to provide for their families. And ultimately, Rent-A-Center gets a new customer as well. And we, through referrals and references, continue to generate traffic for our retail partners. So it's a good relationship all the way around.
In doing research, one thing I didn't realize, I knew that I could come into one of your stores and I can rent something. But I didn't realize if something goes down, if there's a problem with an appliance, a laptop, not only do you repair that, but you also offer another comparable item for them to use while it's being repaired.
That's correct. And it, you know, our industry is not well known in terms of folks being accustomed to understanding the rent-to-own business. And part of our value proposition is ensuring that the customer gets the product they need, but they also have full peace of mind in terms of complete service, warranty, and repair while they're renting the product. And to the extent an appliance breaks down, we'll bring them a loaner, fix their appliance for no additional cost, and return it back to them.
This just is one of the things I work with my clients on, is something called a no-problem attitude. Once you rent from Rent-A-Center, there is no problem. Something goes bad, you're all taken care of. No questions asked.
That's the way we like to think about it.
Well, going along with that, I noticed on some of your information, you have some very strong core values, three of them specifically. The first one is having a winning spirit. Talk about that as CEO.
Well, I think, you know, our mission statement, it all starts with our mission statement. We want to improve the lives of our coworkers and our customers. And really, that starts with making sure we're operating and acting with a servant's heart. And having a winning spirit is a component of that, and making sure that folks come to work every day looking to win, win for the company, win for themselves, and advancing their career, but also in winning for our customers and helping improve their lives.
Yeah, that sounds like it also comes from some of your sports background, too, and it all ties together. We want to win, and as you said before, win, win, win for everybody that you're working with, your partners and your customers. The second one was acting with a servant's heart. That's becoming more popular with a lot of companies, but how does that affect or impact Rent-A-Center?
That's a great question, and one I'm glad you asked. You know, in today's society, people get caught up in themselves a lot, and we try to make sure we foster an environment where we work together to make sure we're serving others, because to the extent we're advancing other folks in their profession, their career, their needs and wants, ultimately that helps us. And for me, as the new CEO, I certainly don't want to take credit for the success of Rent-A-Center. I want to pass that along to my team because I'm serving them in their careers, and to the extent they perform well and are successful, ultimately that's going to help the company and my success as well.
And this is what you've done, is you turn the pyramid upside down. You're on the bottom.
That's right.
And they're taking care of you. We're talking with Robert Davis. Robert is CEO of Rent-A-Center. That website, again, is rentacenter.com. The third core value is bringing honor to our team. How do you go about doing that?
Well, our industry, as I mentioned earlier, is often understood and misunderstood, and to some extent gets some bad publicity, particularly in some different venues, if you will. And from our perspective, we want to make sure that we honor people and make sure we provide dignity. And if there's a situation where a customer can no longer pay or afford the product, we want to return the product to Rent-A-Center. We retain title to that asset, but we also offer the customer a lifetime reinstatement program where, to the extent they get through the bump in the road, they can come back, pick up where they left off, and maintain dignity and keep the honor through that process.
So based on what you said, it sounds like you get a lot of customers that do not have the funds to purchase or have the credit to purchase something. They go to Rent-A-Center. They're able to, in many cases, furnish their home. Once they get back on their feet, they're able to move on and buy their own, and they've now used Rent-A-Center as a way to get to where they need to be.
Well, Rent-A-Center allows them multiple ways of acquiring title to the asset. They can buy straight outright, which is not our core business model. We have 90-day same-as-cash programs as well as early buyout options, and so the customer has a flexible way to acquire the goods and services. But we also know that life happens to our customers. And so many of them being cash and credit constrained, if the car breaks down and they have a bump in the road, they have a temporary need to ensure that they're taking care of their vehicle to get to work. That might mean the product comes back to Rent-A-Center. Well, when they get back on their feet, we'll reinstate them as if they've never lost out on any of the equity they paid in up to that point. So, again, bringing honor, making sure we're serving the customer, really a flexible program that really addresses a big need in the society.
So it's not like the mortgage company that says pay up or get out.
That's right.
You're there to help them. You're almost 30 years old. I believe you started in 1986. You just added smartphones to your repertoire. Where are you going from here? What's the future for Rent-A-Center in terms of what new things are coming up?
Well, I'm actually 44. And
30 years old in the age of the company.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
But you do look younger than
Thank
you appear.
Thank you. Yes, the company, absolutely, founded in 1986. You know, what we are doing right now is we're going through a multi-year transformation to really modernize our operations. And so when you think about our labor model, our distribution model, and to some extent our pricing model, those have been very successful for the company for over three decades. And as the consumer is changing, shopping habits have changed, technology has changed, this multi-year transformation is what we're in the midst of. We're overhauling our supply chain to ensure that we can enable e-commerce and serve customers wherever they are. And by virtue of our current brick-and-mortar platform, as well as our Acceptance Now business, we have over 4,100 touch points in the country that we can service a customer. And the advent of e-commerce, which is on the horizon, is another effort for us to be able to ensure that we're serving customers where they want to shop, how they want to shop, and when they want to shop.
And with that, tell everybody one more time how they can find out about you.
Well, we're on the website of www.rentacenter.com, and there's a lot of information about who we are, our program, the ease of our business proposition, and how to acquire the needs for your home in household durable goods like furniture and electronics and so forth.
And when it comes to surfing, yes, there's plenty on that website to rentacenter.com. Robert, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Robert Davis is CEO of Rent-A-Center. This has been a terrific show. Join us at playmakerstalkshow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's playmakerstalkshow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.